Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Welcome to the AI Hustle podcast. Today on the show, we have the pleasure of being joined by the legendary Alan Zhao, the head of marketing at Wormly AI. Alan, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Jaden. It's good to be here.
Super excited to have you on. We'd love to have you tell us a little bit about, give us like just, you know, the 5 seconds of your background and how you kind of got started with Wormly.
Yeah, so I started off on the trading floor in my first 2 years at college, found out that AI was the next big thing, moved to an AI company, started a restaurant after that, went to San Francisco after COVID when the restaurant started to close, and then met my co-founders, Max, through this fellowship called On Deck. And from there, we pivoted 4 times, and our latest iteration is Wormly today.
That's amazing. That sounds like a classic founder story with the four pivots. This is very common, but super excited where you've landed with this. This is super interesting. I'm wondering, could you give everyone a little bit of, tell us what Wormly is, tell us what Wormly does, and what the problems are solving for customers today with this?
Yeah, what Wormly does specifically is you add a code snippet to your website, we integrate with all the tools in your tech stack that you're already using, and then we de-anonymize the site traffic coming to your site, so companies and contacts, and then we automate the follow-up to them through LinkedIn, email, and live chat using our AI chatbot. And the problem that we initially started off with was timing in sales. That the classic go-to-market problem is, what do you say, who do you say it to, and then when do you say it? With when being the most important, but also the hardest and unanswered problem. There's two folds to when, because when is knowing when someone is hungry or in buy mode for your tool. And the second piece is actually sending a sales action or doing a sales action associated with that timing. So those two things have to come together perfectly to hit them at their buying window when their interest is most peaked. And so our tool is helping to solve that problem.
So I have a question with that. So how long after they visit your website is it making that initial reach out? Like, how long does it take to de-anonymize the person and then reach out on the company's behalf?
It's instant. Well, it's instant to us for humans, but it would be like less than a second. The problem, so 3 things can happen is when someone comes to the site, first thing, we de-anonymize who it is. If it's a company, if we can de-anonymize the company, it goes through a bunch of filters that we set up together. Like, are they your ICP? Are they actively in buy mode based off our Bombora third-party research intent? Are they on your pricing page? Are they exhibiting some sort of buying intent? Are they just their third visit? And then once that happens, we can automatically find the other people in the buying committee or the other stakeholders through an Apollo API integration or using our own data prospector ourselves to go find those people and then automatically add them to an email and LinkedIn sequence. That all happens. That can happen instantly. The third thing that is actually the most pressing is, now that they're on your site, can you have a conversation with them in that second? So if they're a high... like they're your top tier one accounts and an AE owns them, it would just get routed to the AE via Slack or Teams. The AE would see that and then immediately jump on a call with them on the website. There's a live video chat. If they're not a top tier account, but they're pretty hot, then our AI chat will engage with them immediately. And then once they respond back, then the AE will get looped in and you can have a conversation.
Okay, so... super impressive what you guys have built. See a huge need in the market for this. You talked a little bit about making 4 different pivots for this in the past. Tell us a little bit about like what Wormly started out as and what kind of led you guys to being like, oh my gosh, this is the problem we need to solve today.
So Wormly started off as pushpull.community, which is a more authentic version of LinkedIn. We essentially built it for ourselves because we found that LinkedIn tells you where you've been and what you've done, but it doesn't tell you where you want to go. And we were really inspired by On Deck's ask and offer section where people would list their asks and their offers, but why couldn't we put that on LinkedIn as well? So we built that. We were very naive, thinking that we could take on something as big as LinkedIn. And we realized that the world didn't need another social network. So we went through Techstars through that. And then we pivoted into job change tracking, more B2B-esque. Job change tracking, we didn't know anything about sales, didn't know anything about customer success, and we built it for the customer success use case. Eventually, that pivoted into sales during COVID because everyone wanted more leads. And when someone changed jobs, them being having used your tool, being your biggest champion, and knowing about that as a signal became one of the most important signals out there. And so we managed to sell quickly, but we couldn't scale it. Because at the end of the day, like this, the way to tell if someone's changing jobs is a lot of like LinkedIn scraping. So we didn't do that.
Okay.
And then we decided that we wanted to go back into the market. We saw that Zoom was building an app store that nobody was talking about. And this was during the peak pandemic, October 2020.
So Zoom was like an absolute fire.
Yeah, it was on absolute fire. It was 300 million daily active users. So we just thought if we can get a piece of that, maybe this could be the Apple App Store. So we decided to take the risk, built on top of the Zoom platform, and we were one of the first apps in. But then the pandemic started to, you know, the world started to recover. People started to come back into the office. Less people were on Zoom. Zoom needed to reprioritize towards revenue. And then the App Store kind of got dropped.
Dang it.
So it's still going. You can still find our Warmly app there. We built a name tags app because at the end of the day, the most useful thing that we could find for ourselves to build on top of Zoom app platform as an independent company was a name tag. Wanted to know who the person you're speaking to was. So it would just say who you are and what you've done, kind of the same thing as Pushpull actually, and make salespeople actually more professional. So we always stay within the realm of sales. In the process of trying to sell this into enterprises, because enterprises found this really valuable, because they had 300,000 people and they wanted to co-brand and make sure that they came together more professional when they entered meetings.
Okay.
And for cultural reasons, internally as well, we found it very difficult to sell. And so we ran into this problem of, like I said before, it was timing. Like, when was someone actually looking for this tool? And I went out into the market again and tried to find something else for us to build as a Skunkworks project. So it was just me and another engineer worked on this side project, which is what Warmly is today. And eventually the whole company moved over once we could prove that we can get to 100K in revenue in a quarter.
Amazing. That's super, super cool. Jamie,
yes.
I know you've been a huge fan of this. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you've been a huge fan of this. How did you find it originally?
Well, I had a friend actually who started his own marketing agency and started offering this software to his customers because it was able to increase conversions. And it's kind of, you know, when I saw the AI component, it kind of caught my eye since that's what we do here. And I thought it'd be really cool to just talk about how businesses can use this software to, you know, increase their conversions. Alan, do you have any kind of like data or numbers as far as like, you know, what type of results are companies seeing from using Warmly?
Yeah, so it ranges, but we have companies that sell in government with 300% increase in pipeline, enterprise pipeline in 1 month. We have 80,000 in revenue closed in the first 2 weeks. We have 15% increase in overall engagement. And so it definitely ranges depending on the company. We have a number of case studies you guys can check out. But the harder metrics are 65% of companies are identified and 15% of contacts are identified. And that's kind of the baseline. Like, that's as far as the data goes. And depending on your business, your sales cycle, we can have more harder ROI metrics as well.
I love this because I feel like so frequently when I have some sort of problem in my business, I'm like, you know, I'm like frustrated and I'm like, oh my gosh, let me go figure this out. And I'm looking at a bunch of different websites and like I have a window of time where I'm going to go solve this problem and be done with it. And I never want to think about it again. I just, if there's a software that does it, I'll pay for it. If there's a solution, like a service, I'll pay for it. Just like fix this problem and move on because this isn't really what I want to spend my life doing. And the thing is, I think that window is so small. A lot of times I'll go to a website, like the pricing isn't clear or the features aren't clear. And I'm like, you know, they're like, fill out our form. First off, like there's not transparent pricing. I'm like, ah, I'm just going to bounce. I don't want to get on a sales call, but it's like so confusing. But I think that when someone's in that window, if you can immediately hit them up and answer any questions they might have about your product, it's like, they're like, oh, like, I think this does what I need. I'm not sure. I'll go check out a few other options and they might get lost on one of the other five like softwares or options. But if you can immediately like engage them in the conversation, like while they're looking at your site, I think that's like so, so freaking brilliant how that works. What are some of the biggest challenges you guys face while building this?
That's exactly right. That window of opportunity is the biggest challenge. And because of social media, the digital attention span is 8 seconds. So oftentimes you just maybe have 8 seconds when someone's browsing your site, just like you said, before they decide to go to a competitor because a competitor moved faster. And so speed was always the biggest challenge. So it still remains the biggest challenge. I think it's unsolved, mm-hmm. actually. Because technologically, on the one hand, when someone visits your site, you have 8 seconds. We have 8 seconds to process that information, 8 seconds to get a salesperson on a call, and 8 seconds to connect you guys before they jump. And so we solved that through using AI, because salespeople, they have 30 to 40 things to do at once, but they can only do one thing at a time. And so they're asked to, you know, update the CRM, do research, write messaging that resonates, and also answer Slack messages coming from us that may be the ICP visiting the website, the pricing page. So instead of having salespeople do that, we have a first line of defense, and we'll just have the AI reach out on your behalf as the salesperson. And then if there's a hook that goes out and there's a bite, then the salesperson gets looped in because they know that there's someone actually raising their hand. And so in that way,
Alan, what does that time frame look like? Like, how long will the AI chat with the person before the sales can hop on the phone? Will it continue indefinitely, or how does that process work?
Right now, we automate the first two messages and make it hyper personalized. AI pulls in all the contextual information from your CRM, sales engagement tool, your prospect's website, any information we have as far as chat history, integrates that together into a first outreach message, and then also a second outreach message if they don't respond back. And the reason for that is because that's actually how humans communicate. You don't typically write like 4 or 5 outreach messages before a response. You just kind of write. So we wanted to at least get the first outreach message in. And then, believe it or not, it's actually very simple. It's usually like, hey, saw you on the pricing page. Do you want to have a quick conversation? Anything more than that, it seems kind of sketchy.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that. I get hit up on LinkedIn all the time, and it's like 5 paragraphs and a link at the bottom. And like, I will never even look at those messages. First of all, I don't want to read 5 paragraphs. And if they end it with a link, like you got it. Yeah, I like that. One question, one just piece of text that you throw a hook out. And if they bite it, then you're going to have a productive conversation. So I love that flow. My question for you is like, tell me a little bit about what you're using for that AI chatbot. Are you just building on ChatGPT and integrating with some, you know, custom in-house kind of like stuff? Or like, what does that look like? How does someone build that out, make sure that this AI chatbot's going to be a good representative or good sales rep for their company?
Yeah, we wanted to make the first version as simple as possible with really no room for error. So it's ChatGPT, GPT-4, and then we pull in all the context and we embed the relevant context using like all of our data vendors, like Clearbit enrichment, Sixth Sense de-anonymization, CRM information, and then information that we scrape from the website as well. All that gets pulled in, embedded as the context. We make like a ChatGPT instance per company. And so you have all the context of all the other people that visited the company to sort of formulate the first message. And then you also create your brand voice. And you know, the company itself can set certain ChatGPT further embeddings as well that they can customize to our app.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering about. So like, if I'm a company using Wormly, I put in like information about my products and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can put information about your product. You can put in information about what you would want your sales rep to say. So for example, make sure to give an outreach message based off the page that they're on. And then you're the top number one salesperson, SDR, and you're representing Catherine, who is a this, this, and this.
Okay, gotcha. Super, super cool.
So then with like the LinkedIn reach out, is that the sales rep's profile that it's reaching out on behalf of? Is that how that works?
That's right. So we partner with a company called Salesflow. It's an exclusive partnership, and they do the LinkedIn automation, in which case you connect. If you have 50 sales reps, you connect all 50 sales reps' accounts, and you would basically, you know, like round robin the outreach. So we call this orchestration, because someone visits the website, we pull all the contacts for the companies, all the key contacts for the company that visited, and then we automatically outreach them on LinkedIn via the account owner. So it's the account owner's LinkedIn account. If you do territory mapping correctly, then everyone should have evenly distributed accounts. And so over time, it should level out.
Gotcha.
Cool. What is something that you are that you guys are looking forward to, or you're currently like in the works, new features or kind of new vision that you think will be exciting?
Yeah, so for us, we started with the website, and we still think that the website is the most important place because all roads eventually lead to your website when someone's trying to learn more about your product. But eventually, we also want to incorporate other third-party signals. And so job change tracking, we're coming back to it. It's coming out soon. Third-party intent signals like Bombora we're already using, but we want to use other ones like job postings. There's so much information in job postings. If we can scrape that, pull that information in. But at the end of the day, it's signals come in. We do A-B testing / filtering / segmentation and processing, and then we want to connect as many outreach channels. So right now we have LinkedIn, email, and live chat, but we want to connect more as well.
You're like tweeting at them. You're like hitting them on Facebook. You got them on the Instagram.
that's exactly right. So right now we're focused on the sales side. So it's sales automation, but we also want to cover marketing too.
Okay. Would you guys do like SMS?
It's a consideration. I would say that one of the big gaps we saw in the market was that companies like Sixth Sense, Demand-Based, Terminus are classic EBM platforms that are very large, but so out of reach for SMBs. And we wanted to bring that down to the SMB market. We don't have the same resources, don't have the time, don't have the people, don't have the playbooks. And we wanted to make it turnkey, easy to use, and then also adapt it to your existing tools. So that this all these playbooks kind of already exist at the enterprise level. Like, you know, account-based marketing with ads, then you follow up with sales automation and then get the salesperson on, and it's all aligned perfectly, all signal-based. But just bring it down to the SMB and make it so easy to set up in minutes and turnkey and easy to understand.
Okay. Super, super cool. Alan, first off, incredible to have you on. Explain this product. Explain what you guys are doing. This is super, super exciting. I have a couple last questions I would love, and I'm sure James got a couple too, but one of them being from me is, you know, what advice would you give to people looking to improve their sales today? Obviously, use Warmly. Give us some advice on how you think this could help or other things that these people could be using to improve their sales today.
In general, how to improve sales, it's changed a lot over the years. So in the past, like before 2020, you had outreach, sales loft, sales automation, contact databases. So getting to the person is no longer hard, which is why we're all getting spam and carpet bombed. And so a lot of times personalization went out the window because that kind of worked. You just put more on top. Nowadays, it's become a lot more difficult. It's a lot more difficult partially because Google's Yahoo bulk email send policy. So you're not allowed to send past a certain threshold before you go into spam or promotions. And you have to be a lot more intentional with your outreach. So using these signal-based intent platforms to help sell is helpful. Because like we said, if someone is hungry and you're able to reach out, the timing, it's a first principle, then you're most likely to get the sale. It's like if someone was drinking a lot and then they go outside and they see a hot dog stand, then they're going to buy the hot dog, probably. But any other time of day, the hot dog stand might not get the business. So signal-based selling is very good. And then there's also, because there's so many tools out there and there's so much information, it's less about knowing what they do. It is important about what they do, like if they solve a problem, if it's differentiated. But because of AI making it so easy to build platforms and products very quickly, differentiation is harder to find, and it's more about who's saying you're a good product. So influence is the game now. And if you can get influence through influencers, you becoming an influencer, being a thought leader, make good content, just being someone credible, that's going to go a long way. I think that's the approach that we're taking, and we're finding a lot of success with it.
That's awesome. So, back to, I guess I'm still a little curious about Warmly itself and how it works. As far as determining, like, how do you de-anonymize someone, like, based on their, is it like their IP address, or how do you, cross all the, like, security, like, is there security issues? Like, how do you exact, because I know it's not 100% until you're able to find out, you know, who that person is, but what kind of challenges are you faced with that? Because I feel like there's quite a few.
Yeah, it's IP is definitely one of them. So when we can de-anonymize companies, we do it through IP. And the interesting thing about IP is that it's actually gotten more accurate after COVID, interestingly. So as people started moving around, believe it or not, it actually got more accurate. And here's why, is because it's the kind of like one of the secrets of the data community, is that when you third-party log into devices using Google Auth, you're implicitly giving that app your email address, and your IP address. For example, if you use a product that maybe is like an analytics tool, right? Like if the company that uses the third-party app is using an analytics tool that sends this information up, like I need to send the email address up to process this to do an analytics on them, that company can also sell your data. They'll strip the PII, so they won't tell you exactly who it is, but they'll say that it's from this company. So it's still compliant, but it becomes very accurate. And over time, like IP addresses are not the most accurate thing, of course, because like 50 people could be behind the same IP address, especially if you're on a company Wi-Fi. But especially if you're in a home Wi-Fi and it's just maybe you and your wife and your kids, over time it starts to calibrate, like, who was the last person to log in? Oh, that's right, it was Jamie. It's 90% probably Jamie, so we're gonna say, you know, it's this company.
That's just saying. That's really interesting. Do you ever see it going to like a direct consumer type business, like those type of businesses ever be able to use Wormly, or is that like a vision for the future, or are you sticking mostly to B2B?
We're gonna do consumer, but there are companies out there that consumer companies would find extremely valuable that not only give you the IP address, but they give you the actual cookie. And that means you know the person who's coming to the site. And it's not, I wouldn't say 100%, but it's way more accurate because it's the cookie on your browser. And so what happened there is instead of just selling the IP, they actually sell the cookie. And so you'll know the exact email address and they'll enrich it and they'll tell you, and then you can go to town on email outreach automation.
That's amazing.
That's interesting.
Okay, so this is absolutely phenomenal. Alan, I know you've been in the space for a while. You've seen some, you know, impressive things that are happening in AI. As we wrap up today, the final question I'd love to ask you about is, what predictions do you have about where this goes in the future? What predictions do you have about where AI is moving in the future that maybe people aren't aware of or aren't thinking about, or maybe something people aren't talking about?
Yeah, it's, at least on the sales side, it's started to get pretty apparent that we're going to start using AI. And then on the flip side, there's going to need to be a defense against this AI. Basically that companies are going to have to respond to how much automated outreach is coming into the inbox. And they're going to have to, you know, create AI or create systems to add people to do not call lists, unsubscribe lists in mass, because they have to think about, like, for enterprise companies, there's maybe 300,000 employees. If every single employee is getting 50,000 emails a day, how much does that take productivity? And how much time does it take to go and unsubscribe these emails and
add brutal
phone numbers to not call lists? Like, what if there was just an AI that says, here's the email that gets sent out, here's the legal documents that say, like, stop doing this to me. And that's a solvable problem, actually. It's actually an easier problem to solve that problem, I think, than solve the how do I get this person on the phone problem and timing and all that. There's too much stuff coming in. I need to clear this out. So this is the battle that's going to happen. And I think it's really interesting that those companies don't exist yet.
That's amazing. I love that. Alan, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your insights, sharing what you guys are doing over at Wormly. Super, super interesting stuff. I'll drop a link in the show notes to Wormly. You can go check them out and see what they're building and see if this is a good solution for you. Alan, thanks so much for coming on the show. To the listener, thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. Make sure to rate us wherever you get your podcasts, and I hope that you all have an amazing rest of your day.